Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
This is a big deal.
Listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle right here on LA Talk Radio.
You would be if you're still standing up. It's 99 degrees outside.
It's 99 Luftballons.
Yes.
Remember that song?
No.
No. Our guests are far too young.
I remember
that.
99 Miles
to LA.
They
sang it in German, and it was 99 Luftballons, which is German for 99 red balloons. Useless shit stuck in my head, Michael. Can't remember my own phone number, but I know every word.
I know you
do. 99 Luftballons.
It's scary, Paul.
Yes.
It's scary.
Wasted childhood.
So, listen, mister, we haven't seen each other for a while. What have you been doing since last we did
laminate floors,
week?
Michael? Life on the Edge with Paul, putting in laminate floors, and they said I was a fool to dream.
Really,
it's been a magical time.
You yourself personally put them in?
No, I had somebody professional. I had someone, a phenomenal installer.
You want to give him a little shout out?
Yes, Francisco Vasquez. I'll give his phone number next week.
Really,
phenomenal. Three guys, just craftsmen, real great
three
work.
Three guys and a laminate.
Three guys and a laminate, which is one of the lesser-known Pirandello plays.
Yes, exactly.
Three guys and a laminate.
Now,
yes.
Has your wife had the pleasure of seeing
her? She is not. She's visiting family in Chicago.
Right?
She's Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
She's visiting family in Chicago. But it's going to be nice because when she comes back, she'll have the whole big reveal. Be like a game show in our house.
Nice. Yeah, you should do a game show in your house. You're good at that.
Well, we do, but it's sort of a weird role-playing thing I'd rather not get into. Michael, how about your week? How did your week go?
Boy, oh boy, so busy. Thanks for asking.
Nice.
Shows at the nightclub, and I'm working on the Addams Family with the wonderful Rachel York and Bronson Pinchot, who are starring for 3D Theatricals, and we open October 10th down at Fullerton's historic Plummer Auditorium.
Oh, cool.
And for a run there for 3 weeks, and then we move over to the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. Open on Halloween night.
Oh, they do that with every show,
run
don't they?
November 8th. Sort of all but one show.
All but one.
All
okay.
but one out of the four shows in their season.
Yeah. That's nice because it's short run. They always get great houses.
Exactly. But the Redondo Beach run will be special because it is on Halloween night. So parents are encouraged to bring their children there. We're going to do a whole Halloween kind of backstage scary thing.
Oh, wow.
Looking for candy and that kind of business.
Oh, very
cool. Yeah.
Very cool.
Should be fun.
Yeah.
So, I compliment the production company always coming up with the most beautiful and interesting renditions of these wonderful Broadway shows.
Oh, yeah.
They put their own spin on everything.
And they put their own spin on, but they're still like Broadway quality.
Oh, huge.
Like Broadway.
So I think more so than probably most theaters in whatever dream possible.
Right.
But that all has to do with style and, their own personal taste and, of course, the investment. So,
yeah. Very, very
You've
cool.
been to see their shows. In fact, you've seen one of our guests in the show that you went to see.
Which one?
You went to see the producers, right?
Yes.
Yes, well, you're looking at him right now.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. Yes.
I did not realize that. You look significantly different. Is that good or bad? Well, let's introduce them. We know who we're talking about. Before we introduce our guests, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services. Thank you for sabotaging me, Michael. Now I'm all embarrassed.
So sorry.
The entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to thank our sponsor, I can't even find it here in my notes, PerformingArtsLive.com, which is one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
We've got another jam-packed show today with three of the Southland's most gifted performers. Let's get down to it, shall we, Michael? Should we
kick
that off?
I think so, indeed.
Let's do that.
And you're going to do this, right?
Well, no, this is... I can if you'd like, Michael.
Why don't you?
This is page four.
You know what? I'm on page four. Okay, I've got it together now. Okay.
It's in the bold print with Michael over it.
Absolutely. First word it says here. Absolutely. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, is delighted to be making her Pasadena Playhouse debut in Josefina Lopez's Real Women Have Curves on stage now through October 4th. Recent theater credits include Mother, with the hat. You notice what I had to bleep that word out.
Yes, you wouldn't want to say motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, because we can't on our show. Yeah.
Sorry.
At the South Coast Repertory Theater in Costa Mesa. Pericles. What is that? That's a bad disease.
Pericles. I had that, but a little penicillin cleared
yeah,
right
exactly.
up.
At the Independent Shakespeare Company and Romeo and Juliet at Shakespeare Center, L.A.
She also originated the role of Dolores in Luis Alfaro's celebrated Black Butterfly at the Mark Taper Forum here in L.A. and the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. Please welcome Cristina Frias. Cristina.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me today.
So delighted to have you.
Absolutely. Yes. So you're working hard out there at the Pasadena Playhouse, are you?
Yes, working hard in my little sewing factory and and having a blast.
Well, you know what? You just said a very key thing, which was going to be at least my first question. Would you enlighten our listeners as to the content of your lovely show, what it's about, and it's written by a very celebrated writer, and we're excited that it's at the Pasadena Playhouse. They always bring in these interesting shows like this. So what is the basic plot line?
Okay, so the show is called Real Women Have Curves, mm-hmm. written by playwright Josefina Lopez. Most people probably know the title from the movie adaptation, mm-hmm. Which starred America Ferrera and made her the star she is.
Yeah, that was what kicked her off, yeah. Yeah, that was her first big thing, right?
Yes, yes, it was her first big thing. And it's actually, there have been probably over 50 stage productions, and this is the first really large one happening in the Los Angeles area. Which makes it really exciting for Josefina, who's from Los Angeles, and myself. I'm also from Los Angeles. And the basic premise is that it's set in a tiny sewing factory in East Los Angeles. And we are five, curvy women of all shapes and sizes trying to meet this impossible deadline to keep my small business alive. And we come up against, scenes dealing with everything from immigration to self-love to, what it is to have a dream and start your own business in this country.
Cristina, let me ask you something, because I'm in a similar situation myself. I'm doing a show right now, August Osage County, out at the Will Geer Theatricum, which is also based, I don't know if yours is based on a film, but do you find that you're up against something with that people who have seen the film come with a certain expectation? And is that something that's difficult for you as a performer to play against? Or is it just like creating a character like any other show that wasn't a film first?
I think because the film was made so long ago, it's actually worked in our favor. Real Women Have Curves has become its own kind of brand, and therefore people are really excited to have the stage experience because most of them have never seen the actual play.
I see.
So it seems there's a general interest and curiosity just to see this interpretation of the story, which is very different. What most people don't know is that in the film, Anna, the role played by America Ferrera, is the lead. In the play production, Estella, who I play, is the actual protagonist of the story.
Okay.
So it's very different in that way.
Mm-hmm. I see. And it's the same Josefina Lopez who wrote, did she write it as a screenplay initially, or was it always a stage play?
It was always a stage play, but then they adapted to the screenplay, which got a Sundance Award, actually.
So the people are actually, in effect, seeing the original because it was a play before it was a film.
Absolutely.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's good. That's nice to know.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things you run into where you have to morph one for the other and something gets sacrificed. But it's nice to know that it was a play first.
Right. How are the audiences taking to the show? They're always so appreciative out there in Pasadena.
Exactly. It's been amazing. I mean, I'm so excited to have this experience because we are having such a diversity of audience members come up to us after moved, happy, excited. We had a whole theater filled with students yesterday, over 600 students
Wow.
from the Pasadena area, from middle school to high school, teachers. There's a whole kind of curriculum that's been created around the play that they've been taking into schools. And then we've had, you know, everyone. We've had subscribers. We've had different organizations that have been kind of drawn into the theater for the first time because of the play. Sima Sueko, our director, has been amazing at kind of creating a kind of a movement around the play and making sure that it's accessible to everyone.
Well, it's not only a wonderful story, but it's also as you've said, the message is great with so many women people, but especially women struggling with body issues and things like that. It's just so nice to see the great, you know, female empowered characters, and also the fact that they are Latina, because that's a demographic that is not represented in live theater nearly as well as it should be.
Yes, and I think that's what makes this a really kind of extraordinary moment, is that this is the first Latina play that Pasadena Playhouse has ever done with an entirely all-female Latina cast in their history. So it's an incredibly exciting moment, and I think it speaks to kind of the shifting demographics, that there are stories that want to be told and shared, and that not only will the Latino community come out to support, but it's really a universal story that connects all of us.
Yeah. I think you're
that's been something that's been wonderful.
Yes, you're absolutely hit that right on the nail, because that's part of the mission of the Playhouse, is to reach out into our various cultures here in Los Angeles and with product that is specific in its message to everyone, but might be something like Waterfall, which was their world premiere musical, which was appealing to the Asian community a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And it did so well, beautiful by Malpian Shire. And it was a wonderful experience. So as you said in the beginning of the interview, it brought out a lot of diverse cultures, not just the Asian community, but also other people who were interested in seeing it. So it's a little, you know, something for everyone out there at the Pasadena Playhouse, in other words.
And if you want to be part of this, we should let you know how you can. You can visit, for tickets, visit PasadenaPlayhouse.org, or you can call 626-356-7529. That's 626-356-7529. We will throw this information out there one more time before the end of the hour. So, and of course, the Pasadena Playhouse, 39 South El Molino Avenue in Pasadena, California. And tickets start at $25.
Can't beat that.
Can't beat that. It drives me crazy when I see the quality of theater that people can get out here for that as little as that money. And Pasadena Playhouse, one of the great venues in town where you can park once. You got all sorts of dining options available to you.
Dine right there.
Yeah, exactly. That
it's
what's
a good
that
restaurant.
Little, great little place right in the courtyard.
It's a jazz. I remember the exact name. Do you, Christina, know the name of the restaurant?
We're there every night, and I want to say it's called Red.
Is it Red,
White, and Blue?
Yeah, something like that.
Right? I want to make sure I'm saying that.
You know what? You don't
something
even need
like
to
that.
Know it. Just go to the Pasadena Playhouse and turn right, and you'll be there.
Right in the courtyard. Christina, before
exactly.
we let you go, we've never done this, but you're such an interesting woman. At the end of our show, and you won't be here for the end of the show, we ask our other guests to recall embarrassing moments from their careers, whether they're on stage or on film, on the TV set, could be anything at all, humorous, it could be anything you want. So we're going to put you on the spot and say, what is your most awkward, embarrassing moment in your career as an actress?
Wow, okay. There's two that come to mind, but the one that probably was the most embarrassing was my very first high school play. I was actually cast as Reba, and You Can't Take It With You. And because there weren't a lot of minorities in my particular school, and I was Latina, I got cast in that role. And opening night, I'm in my slippers, and I tripped and fell flat on my face in our little, playhouse there, full house. and the entire cast, you know, we were young teenagers. It was an all-girl high school, and, you know, we couldn't contain ourselves. It was humiliating, embarrassing, and hilarious.
Of course. It always is.
We've all had them.
Yes.
We've all had them. Well, listen, thank you for taking time out of your day-to-day to speak with us.
And, thank you so much, Christina, and good continued success with the show.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Stay cool.
Okay.
Bye
okay.
now.
Thank you.
Bye, Christina.
What a doll.
Yeah, very lovely
she
lady.
She was really...
They had a big media day today, which is why we did this today, because
yeah.
we couldn't be out there. So,
well, very lovely
good.
Person, and sounds like a great show. Michael,
Absolutely.
Would you introduce the lovely woman to
I
your
will,
left?
Who has just raised the bar of beauty in this room. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is also currently on stage at the La Mirada Theater for the Performing Arts in Southern California, in the Southern California premiere, I should say, of the Broadway musical First Date. She was last seen at the NoHo Arts Center as Eve in the world premiere musical Adam and Eve and Steve, mm-hmm. as well as Barbie in the musical Serial Killer Barbie.
She was also first runner-up in the 2015 musical theater competition, LA's Next Great Stage Star. Heard of that somewhere.
Yes, you have.
During the school year, she also works for Imagination Machine, going to elementary schools to perform improv sketches of the kids' creative stories to encourage reading and writing. That sounds amazing.
Let's give it up for Kelly Dorney.
LA. Kelly!
Hi!
How are you?
Hi. I'm doing very well. Thank you
Sweet
for having
lady.
Me.
Lady, thank you for doing this. We tried to get you before, but you were so darn busy with the Adam and Eve mm-hmm. and Steve show.
I know, but you had a wonderful replacement, not to pay, so.
Yes, we had fun with him, too. And what a great show that was, truly.
Thank
What's
you.
Happening with it? Let's talk about that for a second.
As far as I know, it's going to have another run somewhere
yeah.
in Los Angeles.
Good.
I'm not sure where or exactly when,
mm-hmm.
but there is a further life for it, which is all that you can ever hope for.
Exactly.
With a new
this
show.
This is just, you know,
yeah.
pee in your pants funny, this show.
yeah.
And a beautiful score and three dynamic performances from Kelly and Michael Spaziani and,
mm-hmm.
and Hoda Pelakwood.
And yeah. so were everyone who was involved in the show, or that was two names from Stage Star, or were three?
Hoda Pelakwood was the second person, who
right.
also was one of the top finalists along
right.
with Kelly
right.
for this year.
Number two and three.
Yeah.
So,
ah.
Kelly, the show you're doing now, can you give us a little bit of, without giving too much away, is it possible to do a little bit of a synopsis to just sort of tease the listeners and sort of pique their interest?
Of course, of course. I think that this musical, First Date, is best described as a sitcom rom-com on stage. It's 90 minutes. It's lighthearted. It's fun. It's pulls people into this relationship as it blooms in front of them. This blind date between Casey and Aaron and all the voices that are in their heads.
Oh, okay.
So it takes.
So we're
place.
Hearing subtext while this stuff is happening.
Oh yeah,
okay.
you get. To see the scenes played out on stage that we all experience in our own minds when we're meeting somebody for the first time, when you're trying to make a connection with somebody and you've got all the background noise.
Wow.
And you get to actually see that happen live.
It's very, very similar fun. To a Stephen Berkoff play called Kvetch. It's
okay.
very, very similar where I did it a couple of years ago. And we're just having a dinner conversation, but then everyone would freeze and you would turn and you would say exactly what your subtext was and go back. But it was incredibly intricate and difficult mm-hmm. to do because sometimes you had to know everyone's lines. And sometimes you'd freeze for 4 seconds and other times you'd freeze for a paragraph.
Uh-huh.
So, and if you didn't freeze perfectly,
oh.
it was like spotlight.
I can tell you, sometimes I've frozen. It's caught me in an awkward position in a freeze. I was mid-drink and had to freeze, and just like the glass continued to just fog up.
Is it the same convention that you freeze while the other person has?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's very similar to Kvetch, but a significantly lighter, and because you said like a situation comedy, romantic
yeah,
comedy.
Yeah, definitely a rom-com. It's,
yeah.
it's But at the same time, there is so much heart. You really do feel for these main characters, and you want them to make a connection. You're cheering for them. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, without prying too much into your personal life, have any of your personal dating experiences informed what you're doing on that stage? Or you can say no comment.
Well, I am a very lucky gal. I got married quite young in this day and age. I was 24, and I
met
him.
Is that young?
In this day and age, yeah. I would say that's pretty young to get married.
Wow.
But I didn't really do the whole dating lifestyle, and I cannot thank my lucky cards enough
yeah.
for that.
Yeah, happy to dodge that bullet.
Happy to dodge the Googling and the...
And the online.
Harmony and yeah. the, all that nonsense and the bars and all that. So I've pulled from what my friends have talked to me about.
Okay. So now in this show, it's a blind date, you said, but is it set up through like internet dating or one of those
sites? It's set up through the husband of the main girl's sister. So her brother-in-law is friends with the guy that he sets
Okay, so it's just your traditional blind date setup, not any Harmony or online dating.
No.
Well, that's kind of refreshing, because that was my first thought in reading it. Oh, it's going to be one of these, you know, parodies of this, which it's difficult to parody something that's already so far too ripe for parody.
Right.
But
it is its own parody.
Yeah, it is. It parodies itself.
So do our audiences, though, identifying with it? Because I know it's been quite successful since
Absolutely.
You opened, right?
And the really wonderful thing is it's being identified across the board of ages. It is very modern. It is definitely a modern musical. We've had some comments on language and content because it is of our generation, so we are a bit more open and free with our language and what we find funny, a little bit of a... back humor, if you will.
Right.
But I do think that there is something for everybody. The older will absolutely identify with going out and trying to make a connection with somebody, putting yourself out there, overcoming your fears, overcoming the past discretions of your former loves, right. and moving on. I think anybody of any generation identifies with that.
And I think it's one of those things, too, where, you know, and I'm not a fan of the superfluous you know, language. But if it is true to the world of the play and the character, then it's only honest to speak that way.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things I used to have a big beef with. People would say, you know, they wouldn't like a particular comedian because that particular comedian used four-letter words. It's like, but that's their music. Mm-hmm. You know, that's right. The music. That's the. Richard Pryor, his mother was in a prostitute, and he grew up in a brothel, raised by his grandmother. This is a man who's going to use colorful language. It's just that world.
And or Lisa Lampanelli, if you know who
yeah,
she is.
Yeah, exactly.
What would she be without
part of her music? Yeah, yeah. And it's not too much of the time. It sounds like this show that you're doing, like you said, it has a heart. It has, even though it's lighter, there's themes and of relationships for people to grab onto. So you have that as the meal. Mm-hmm. You have the seasoning of salty language, but what you don't want to go is see a play and see a big plate of salt.
Right.
You know, you just want to have the meal with flavor.
It's merely peppered
exactly.
with it.
Exactly.
It's definitely not
peppered.
It's not Mammoth. You know, we're not up there the whole
right.
time for
yeah.
30 minutes just cursing.
Just cursing.
It's,
yes.
It lives in that world, and in that world they make the off-color jokes and they do drop the F-bomb here and there.
Well.
And
we did today.
As we did today.
Yeah. So. I did.
As you did.
Did.
I skirted it. And
you
then
skirted
you
it. And I just.
I'm not trying to say that people can't have an opinion as to whether or not that should be used in theater. That's, of course, their prerogative. And whether or not they choose to go see the theater is their choice. And I just hope that people will still embrace this show for what it is, and so far they have. So
and you know what? And I brought up that point, and I talked about it. We've probably talked about it more than it actually happens in the show.
Absolutely. It's true. It's absolutely true.
You should run for president. I think you should. And anybody can get in this race.
That's true. Look out, Donald. Here I come.
Kelly, you said you're from Texas?
I am.
You have no discernible accent. Was that a conscious thing to work at, or did you never really have too much of a twang?
I didn't have too much of a twang. I definitely definitely say y'all, and I definitely have words that slip
just
out.
Just involuntarily, you just say y'all.
Just shouting it across y'all! The street. It's my own form of Tourette's. It's a Texas Tourette's. Texettes,
thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
Right there. You're faster than me.
You gotta be quick, buddy.
She's
my
younger.
First rodeo.
She's
you know?
Younger.
My father is actually from New York City, and talking about growing up in a household with language. And my mother is from Illinois, so neither of them really had an accent. So, in Plano, where I grew up, is a wonderful hubbub. It's got lots of businesses. Toyota's moving there at the headquarters. They've got the headquarters of JCPenney and Dr. Pepper and Frito-Lay. So it is definitely a suburb of a big city.
Right.
And so there weren't like horses in the parking lot of my high school.
Right,
that,
right.
It's not that kind of a town. But 30 minutes north, I mean, they definitely have a drawl. But you put me next to somebody with a southern accent and a margarita in my hand, and you better believe that something's going to come
out. The same way when I go back, if I'm in New York with my mom or something, mm-hmm. and we're just, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, we'll just, no, you know, we'll just become that guy. You know, we'll just, you know, my brother more so. But no, you have a very lovely speaking
she
voice.
She does, doesn't she?
Oh, thank
not,
you.
Well,
but
she's
it's
lovely
not,
head to toe.
And yes, of course. But it is one of those. It's just very clipped without being mannered. You'd be a good radio host.
Yeah. Well, that is very sweet.
And Michael's taking some time off, so we should talk.
Really?
Michael's like, I don't know anything
about
that,
mister.
Don't say that. Michael, let's do. We should do our little arts calendar, even though we don't really have one today.
We kind of do, but let's talk, tell people how they can go see the show.
Of course.
So, First Date, ladies and gentlemen. Which is directed by Brent Crayon, musical direction, I should say, by Brent Crayon, wonderful MD that he is. Choreography by my sweet friend Lee Martino, and directed by my other sweet friend Nick DiGruccio. And it is on stage now through the 11th of October. And performances are Wednesdays and Thursdays at 7:30 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m., Saturdays at 2 and 8 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m. Again, the La Mirada Theater for the Performing Arts, and this is presented, of course, by the wonderful team of Tom McCoy and Kathy Rigby, which is their production company there at that theater. They always do great work. Free, ample lot parking. Another money saver.
Yes.
Right?
Big deal.
And tickets,
in LA.
Of course, range in price from $20 to $70. So, again, you can't beat that low-end ticket price and still get in to see a great show. So, to get tickets, please call 562-944-9801 or 714-994-6310. Or you can buy them online at LaMiradaTheater.com.
And theater has the R-E spelling on
yes,
that,
the affected R-E.
The affected R-E spelling. Okay.
So thank you, Kelly.
Of course,
we're going to keep
you.
Talking to you along with our next guest. But we're going to do a little live arts calendar right now. And I have...
You've been busy.
I've been busy. And
yes.
I'm just kind of wrapping everything in one long thing here. This is what I was out seeing within the last couple of weeks. The Panico Productions offers She Loves Me at the Hillcrest Center for the Arts in Thousand Oaks, now on stage through September 27th. It is a relatively new theater company, and the production stars seasoned pros Brandon Lloyd and Becca Payton, and the show is just as charming as it possibly can be. So go out and support a new entity. We're always excited when new companies come out and try to put their wares out there. And they had a full house, certainly, the day that I went.
I just want to say, because Hillcrest Center for the Arts, if you go out there, because I rehearsed Mary Poppins out there. There was a rehearsal space up there. And they just be sure you check the map, because if you do a GPS to it, it will just leave you at that bottom street. And you got to go up the hill to the thing.
Hillcrest,
It was a little manic when I was going for the audition. It was just like, meow, 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 meow. Take me to my happy place. Can't find it. So just as a bit of a travel advice.
Yeah, no, you're right.
There.
But it's quite clear once you get out there. And currently on stage, ladies and gentlemen, at the Glendale Center Theater, beautiful 400-seat theater in the round out in Glendale, the always reliable Guys and Dolls is wowing audiences now through October 10th with stand-up performances by Robert Stanley, Heather Lundstedt, Andrew Metzger, Ann Myers, and Jonathan Brett.
Ann Myers.
Yes.
Ann Myers, who I also was also in that same production of Mary Poppins.
Yes. She's, yeah, lovely. She's a lovely, lovely,
and
lovely
a hoot,
girl.
Too.
Yes,
just
she
hysterical.
Is.
Hysterical.
And Robert Stanley, you remember from... he was on the show here with your friend from out there at the theater in Santa Monica. It was doing that classic drama, the two of them. The beautiful woman. I can't remember her name.
How? At Edgemar?
Yes, out at Edgemar. Oh. Performing Arts Center.
Okay.
The Rainmaker.
Tana Frederick.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, I was not at that show. Remember that? I had to sit in for that because I was out of town.
Oh.
I was a phoner.
Oh, there
for
you
that
go.
One.
That's why you don't remember. Yes. And last, ladies and gentlemen, this is kind of a bonus, and we don't have it happen. This doesn't happen very often with us, but the Valley Performing Arts Center, my pals out there called and asked if we would give a little plug for someone. And when I heard who it was, I said, well, absolutely, because she's like the most gorgeous thing, right? And so, so talented. Megan Hilty in concert this evening, one night only, at the Valley Performing Arts Center. And what they have done is they have given us a special ticket discount for our listeners to use. Paul, you want to tell them what that
yes,
is?
Yes, the code is MEGAN15. It looks like it's all capitalized. I don't know if it's case sensitive, but we'll put that out there. Code MEGAN15, MEGAN15. Buy now and get 25% off single tickets. And that's nice, too, because sometimes people are just looking for something to do, want to go
exactly.
out. It's not a buy one, get one free, which is normally what they do. But you get 25% off a single ticket.
And you know, did you give them the phone number?
I did not. 818-677-3000.
Yeah, absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have never been to the Valley Performing Arts Center, it is an amazing experience, a major treat. It is a 1,700-seat theater with probably the most perfect acoustics mm-hmm. of any theater in Los Angeles.
It's the Disney concert yeah. hall in the Valley.
Exactly.
That's what I would call it.
Not as elaborate
outside, but more elaborate inside with
yeah,
the wood and everything. It's
and
gorgeous.
The sight line of every seat is pure to
yeah.
the stage.
Yeah.
And the rake on the theater, it's four stories. And when you're inside and you look back, it doesn't even look like four stories, but on the outside, it actually
is. I was there for their opening night when I saw Loudon Wainwright III and Sean Colvin,
right.
and it was fantastic.
So Megan Hilty, you know her from Smash and loved her in Wicked as Glinda. Go out and see her beautiful concert this evening. Be spontaneous.
Yes, do. And be spontaneous and get 25% off. Absolutely. Also featured in First Date at the La Mirada Theater for the Performing Arts, where he's also appeared in Pride and Prejudice and played the role of Bert in Mary Poppins. Additionally, he played the role of Robert, a featured cast member in the national tour of The Drowsy Chaperone and in the musical Chicago when presented in South Africa.
Oh,
you want to
okay.
take that
I
over,
so
Michael?
Fascinated by
did
what
you get a to script say? Today?
I wrote it. Sadly, to say I wrote it, and I'm not even. I'm so engrossed in it. Let's get to that. Yes, and he was awarded, ladies and gentlemen, the 2014 Los Angeles Stage Alliance Ovation Award as Best Featured Actor in a Musical for his portrayal of Carmen Ghia in 3D theatricals, The Producers, as well as a San Diego Theater Critics Circle nomination for, once again, his portrayal of Bert in Moonlight Amphitheater's production of Mary Poppins. We love Moonlight Amphitheater and Steve Gladini down there in the city of Vista. He's got it all, this guy. He most recently starred in the Long Beach Musical Theater West production of Singin' in the Rain with fellow First Date castmate, the intoxicatingly talented Justin Michael Wilcox. Please welcome super musical theater star Lee Wakeford.
Hey.
What an intro.
Well, we're out of time.
Jeez. Yeah.
But it's been great.
Well, thank you so much.
We appreciate having you here.
Well, after that bio, I don't even need to be here. Like, that's great.
You are a singing, dancing man.
Superstar. So,
yeah.
We do what we can. Carmen, we do what we can, Michael.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
How much of a ball was Carmen Ghia?
Such a joy. Anything that you can truly warp into something outrageous. It's a thrill, and I get to do that again in this musical, actually.
Well, yeah.
People that have seen the Carmen Ghia have little moments of like, have I seen this moment on stage?
Is there a bag of tricks being dipped into
I'm
here?
I'm telling you, it's very limited, but space them out wide enough and people can never tell.
Space them out wide enough and people won't remember.
That's it. Yeah. I was like, do a song and dance number, then do a comedic number, then do something else.
Hold up something shiny,
that's
keep
it.
Them distracted.
You're not even joking. I have a studded cell phone in this one, a gold-studded cell phone that I may or may not have requested from our props mistress. So, yes, because in this play,
Well, in the producers, you were working opposite the wonderful David Engel.
Yes. And David has been very implemental in both making that happen for me and then further pushing me into giving me the opportunity, actually, to play Don Lockwood in this production.
Well, and the diversity of that role, Carmagia, to Don Lockwood, you know, it's such a huge difference in what people might expect of you.
Sure.
But boy, did he do a great job.
Thank you, sir.
Singing
Thank
in
you
the rain and obviously in the producers. So in this show, who you're playing opposite, are you paired up with Kelly, which is
so
what she's
So the
here,
way that this works, right, is there are, as Kelly mentioned, the two main characters who are basically the only reality, right? So they hold down the show and they have a somewhat linear story in terms of the timeline of it all.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
where we fall in is we are merely credited as man one, man two, woman one, woman two, but under these categories, we fill multiple characters. And so in this production, I play the main girl, Casey's gay best friend, very quite flamboyant gay best friend, which might have little nods to Carmagia, named Reggie. Then also during a song entitled She Isn't the Girl for You, where we basically comment on the fact that this is a non-Jewish girl being set up with a Jewish gentleman and how that will never work, we see his dead grandmother come to life. We see every ancestor available. We see his future son, which I portray a supposedly 12 to 16 year old Jewish rapper. And
very
so that would be very conflicted rapper between
Grandmaster.
Literally. No, it's like, what do we choose? Christmas or Hanukkah? It's like, which one is it? And then the third character that I play now, I have to think about what the third character is that I play. Is it everything?
No, I'm trying to think.
Well, it's all right. They're
not the only ones to get lost.
I'm a British rock star. That's the other thing. I was like, how's that? That's significant. These are the...
And who's in the show?
The past loves. I'm telling you. These are the past loves of her life as well, where Justin and I get back together.
So are you always... I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go.
Are you always... concrete characters, or do these characters serve to be sort of their id, super ego things, parts of their personalities, or do you actually represent living
entities? I'm gonna be honest, they kind of went with the convention here, and then sometimes it gets off track a little bit, and then most of the time it gets back on. For example, the one character that is featured like all the other ones is the gay best friend, mm-hmm. but he physicalizes outside of the restaurant where all of this takes place and then eventually comes into the restaurant.
Okay.
So he's the only person portrayed by
in
an actor playing
plane.
Multiple parts,
right.
but everyone else is truly a figment.
Okay. Okay.
Is either a thought or a memory or a past thought. Kelly plays Allison, which is the ex-girlfriend, and so we see the main character, Aaron, both expressing what he wish he could say to her and also previous scenarios in which he imagined what she would have said to him.
I see.
So in that way, it is similar to Kvetch, except we don't have subtext. We have full 3-minute songs.
Right. Gotcha. Right. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, you know, that's an interesting point because so much of the time, like I like musicals. I'm not as big a musical theater fan as Michael. He's an encyclopedia, but I enjoy musical theater. But one of the big things to always get by for me is launching into song. But this show sounds like the songs are, because it's so, I don't want to say fragmented because that has a negative connotation,
no,
but so, you know, just what's the word? Frenetic.
It is.
And just, you know,
it is. And truly, and truly outrageous. It verges on the ridiculous because it has the convention of you start the play imagining that these are all people in the same scenario, but then we are obviously changing costumes on stage, throwing on props, throwing on pieces, changing our body acts, taping. You know, so in that way, after the first number, you just start to accept the crazy things are going to go down.
And 80 minutes?
90.
90 minutes. So this is like greased rails.
Yeah.
Just like.
And I mean, the fact that these guys wrote the show and within 5 years they moved it to Broadway, it's because the What regional theaters out there need is a company of seven people that they can put in one location that requires no scene changes. Mm-hmm. Yes, prop and costume hell. But other than that, right, you have a great budgeted show that you can push all around the country and play regionally. Right. It's so varied and it's so stylized that you can really get away with
it. And also, like Kelly mentioned earlier, the broad appeal of something that young people, because we have to get young people to see live theater, that young people could see, but also it's something you could bring your in-laws to and everyone would still have a great time because it hinges on relationships.
Which the writers admitted was a surprise to them.
Really?
They were like, they had not anticipated that this would have such a large appeal to 50 and up.
Really?
Because the language is so colloquial.
Yeah.
And almost painfully so. In a way that we were discussing the speech before, but once... It's kind of like hearing your own voicemail. You know, you don't really want to admit that that is the way you sound. Yeah. And so having pages written, LOL, oh my God, did you really see what she was doing? Totes, I did. Just things that you're like, in about 5 years, this will be a period piece.
Which
is comical. But then to just see that and celebrate the fact that this truly is a play written... played and produced within the 2000s.
What does the word totes mean? Seriously.
Totally.
Totally.
Yeah.
And also, Margarita uses that word.
Yes.
Quite often.
It means totally, and it's also a line of fine rainproof products.
See, I thought that's what they were referring to.
They have the totes. Yeah. The totes bag.
Or what you now have to buy in West Hollywood because plastic's been out.
Who's 51 in this room? Who's 51 in this room? The one who knew about the totes bag.
Oh,
ask me about my isotoners.
Oh, same thing. Same
isotoner
company?
Gloves. You know, remember isotoners?
Lee,
why just relax?
In your bio, it says something about you're thanking your family in South Africa. Are you from South Africa?
I am. So I was dreading the question of where's your accent because I'm a true traitor when it comes to that. I was born and raised in Cape Town, South Africa.
And do you know that I've been there?
I do not know.
Yes,
but I do know now.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
One of my most favorite experiences emotionally and spiritually.
I love that.
Walking to the, did you know this, Paul? You could actually walk to the point, to the end of South Africa in Cape Town and stand right there and see those two oceans collide.
It's pretty magnificent.
And the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean,
exactly.
Right? And that's the Horn of Plenty there.
Yeah.
And it was like a religious experience.
Wow.
Actually, and just arriving in the city and driving.
It is a very special.
Was it Andy Gibbs
and
that you were there with?
Wild Animals.
Was it
Andy
Gibbs?
Crossing the road. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize you.
Yeah, with Andy. We were touring that part of the world. And so it was really one of my favorite. And that's where they say the Garden of Eden is.
Truth.
Legend has it.
I miss it dearly. I miss it dearly. I think it's one of the most special places.
Do you get to see your family?
I've gotten more and more and more fortunate in terms of how frequently I get to see them. I've been in the States for about 10 years now, and that's been about 4 visits over the course of 10 years.
That's true.
Have they been able to come here and see you?
Not yet.
Not yet.
All these wonderful things they haven't seen.
I know. My mom has not seen me in a play since 10 years ago.
Wow. Or maybe she's seen some video, though.
Seen some video.
Yeah.
You know, she's seen what we can legally produce because...
It's a trek,
that's
though. I mean, how long is the flight?
If you go nonstop, it's about... Well, the only way that I know how to fly out of L.A. is 10-11 to London Heathrow and then 10-11 down to Cape Town. So it's about 22 hours on a plane, but then with layovers and such, it usually takes about 2 days to get there. And when you get there, it's 2 days later than what you've left.
Oh, my gosh. So just kill me.
It's something.
Just put me on a plane that long.
Yeah,
But bad knees, and I'm just...
And I went... We were there at a time when, the whole apartheid thing was going on.
Oh, wow. During...
We were the last white performers there.
Wow.
And, so the plane carefully watched as it left and had to land in Johannesburg and refuel and some other place. And when we stopped, there were machine guns and the army all around just pointing the machine guns at the plane because it was coming from
South Africa.
It's so nice.
From that part of South Africa.
It's so nice now that we're starting to, when we think about South Africa and you see some of the tourism advertisements and things like that, it's so nice that, that all that imagery is just sort of dissipating and dissipating and dissipating because it's just it's such a dark time. And it's one of those things that you don't want to have that stain for, you know, any longer than you have to. So
it's such a beautiful country, you know, really.
Wonderful people.
And
we've had
people,
two, the other gentleman that we had from the show, we're talking about, who was trained to Zakopane. He was an excellent actor, too. You guys are going to become like Australia, where you take all our jobs.
It's about time. I was like, the Brits had it, now the Aussies have it. I was like, I'm just in line.
There
we're
you go.
Get it.
Well, starring in First Date, and Lee Wakeford and Kelly Dorney down at La Mirada, the Theater for the Performing Arts at 14900 La Mirada Boulevard in La Mirada, California. Free parking, folks. $20 to $70 are tickets. That's a great deal to be able to get in and see this show, a Broadway show that is now in regional performances in its Southern California premiere here. And it is through October 11th. It plays Wednesdays through Fridays, through Sundays, with performances varying in time during that that stretch. So go online to LaMiradaTheater.com, check it out, or call for tickets 562-944-9801 or 714-994-6310.
And earlier, we spoke to Christina Frias, who's in a wonderful production of Real Women Have Curves. And for tickets for that, just go online to PasadenaPlayhouse.org or call 626-356-7529. That's 626-356-7529. And I don't know how long is that show playing through. I don't have it here.
That goes through the 10th, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's all on the website. So it's that time, Michael.
Yes,
we have
it is.
5 minutes left. We have to ask both of our guests to share a theatrical tale of woe.
Interrupt what you're saying. Yes. The Christina show goes through the 4th of October.
The 4th of October. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Kelly, do you have a tale you can share about something that maybe didn't go as planned during performance?
Of course. Michael, I'm afraid you'll have to hear it for the second time.
It's okay.
But one time I was on Disney Cruise Line. I was performing in their show Toy Story, the musical, and I played Sid, which is the little boy that destroys all the toys. It was very fun to be the evil villain. I'm finding that that is a role I apparently play very well. The villain, not the boy, although I was an excellent boy. At the top of my number, I come out on one of those razor scooters, and I'm supposed to take it down along the edge of the stage, and I just managed to get the wheel in one of the track lines of the stage, and the scooter stopped, and I didn't. And I flew like I was trying to steal home, head first, arms outstretched.
Like a Pete Rose.
Landed. Yes, absolutely. That is the picture. And I happened to do it, of course, completely center stage, not hidden in the wings at all. But the really wonderful thing is that as a boy, I was doing my evil Sid laugh, but as soon as I flew,
what was that
the
laugh?
It was.
Oh, nice!
There's my Sid laugh.
He's pretty evil. Yeah.
It's a party trick that my dad has me do. as I'm coming on stage laughing evilly, and I fly through the air, when I hit the ground, I screamed like a girl.
So we have that?
Absolutely. And I tried again. I'll give you the full experience.
Hang on a second. We'll get ready, okay?
Okay. Oh! And then I tried to cover it up by looking for my scooter, which was, of course, completely out of sight. Dear. And I was like, oh, my God, you just screamed like a girl, Dorney. Like, what are you doing? Cover yourself. Cover yourself. And I'm like, yeah, and like reached to grab. It was fantastic. Everything's tracked, so I'm panicked about time. I've got to run over and get my toolbox and move it over to the 8 and open it and get the thing out. And I was just,
Everything is tracked. Like the music is recorded.
All the music is tracked. There's really no time to fall on your face. But I still managed to do it
and recover.
And all I could think was I was out there alone while it happened. On the apron of the stage, and I was like, nobody saw this happen except for the audience. I wanted to come back and just have everybody laugh at me. But I did manage later when we got the recording of it and we all sat in the dressing room and watched it about 20 times, layering all the hilarious, my fall, but listen to the noise. Oh, but listen to the noise after. And
All right.
Lee, what do you got?
So mine, not so much embarrassing because there's very few things. I mean, I fell. I toured the country with Drowsy Chaperone, as you said, on roller skates, which they didn't mention to me at the audition that I would have to do a number blindfolded on roller skates. And so as we would tour, and this was a non-union tour, you would find a house and be there for one day. So you get used to the stage right there during the number. So, but not the story that I want to tell. The thing that I most remember, the moment that was probably most devastating to me, and any person that can has ever been a part of the Chicago family, was this was during the tour of the South African production of Chicago the Musical. There's a specific moment in time during the end of Razzle Dazzle where the entire ensemble is lined up. And just to put the picture together, the girls are not wearing anything. The girls are very scantily clad, right? Tall, like tall bodies with short, very tiny little shorts, etc. And at this point in time, we're kind of offering up this Greek chorus. An entire light rig is lowered below us from the ceiling to the ground in order for us to appear ghost-like. It shines up into our faces, and at the end of the number, it blinds the audience. There's this magical moment that's choreographed where we pull out pom-poms and tambourines from our butt bags, as we call them, raise them to the sky in a very celebratory fashion, and then kick up one leg as we step over said light rig off the stage. I don't think the stage manager has a job anymore because it was called at the perfectly wrong time, and we went, and I'll make you a on the word star. The light rig starts coming in as 12 ensemble members are mid-air stepping over it.
Oh my Lord.
Takes three girls about 4 feet up into the air.
Oh my. We
have tambourines crashing to the floor.
Oh
we have pom-poms
gosh.
Flying. We have LaDuca high heels up in the air. And so I said, this is not the most embarrassing, but certainly that moment that made the entire audience go, what just
that
happened?
That wasn't supposed to
It
happen.
Was a matter of split seconds.
Oh,
I mean, it was nasty. Inner thighs were scorched.
Ow.
Bodies
yeah.
were dropped.
Yeah, because there's the lights and just, oh, man. But that could have been.
That could have been real
been
bad. But it
yeah.
was a mess. It was a royal theatrical mess.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Wow, I'm actually clenching my thighs.
So on that note,
that's one of the most.
I'm clenching my thighs. Yes,
yes.
What a pleasure having
thank
both
you
of you on. Really
thank
enjoyed
you.
This, Kelly and Lee. Michael, throw their information out one more time for their
really?
Show.
You think we have time
just
to do that?
Just the website.
Again. Just the website for
LaMorataTheater.org.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, and the theater's RE. Okay. Oh,
that's
yeah, because
right.
we're out of time.
Yep.
Pleasure having you both
excellent.
On.
Thank
and
you.
Was a real pleasure speaking to our first guest.
LaMorataTheater.com, by the way, not .org.
Com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
LaMorata Theater. And also, don't forget, Real Women Have Curves.
Yes, out of Pasadena
show.
Playhouse.
And thank you so much. We will
thank
see you
guys.
Next week.
Thank you.
Thank
you. See you on the radio.
Cheers.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle right here on LA Talk Radio.